we're going to look at Isaac today. And Isaac is a miraculous name, right? It's a, you know, we all know it as laughter. And sometimes we picture it as that because we remember Sarah laughing as she was told in her old age to that she was going to have a child. But Isaac is really a miracle. You know, it's miraculous. And I like to remember Isaac as just that. That it was a miracle that he was even born. At a late age, mom and dad was 90, 100 years old. 100 years old, I think Abraham was. So it was a big feat, right? I always tell people my story because I think I'm a miracle. And you guys are too. You guys are miracles too, that you've been born of Jesus, you know, that you've been born again. But I was, my parents were told in their 30s never to even think about conceiving and not to even consider it. It was dangerous to my mother, and they had had several miscarriages, and they went through all the emotions of that. And they actually reached out and started taking in foster children, and to the day that I even left the fort up in Oswego County, in a sense, we would have kids come in and that were their foster kids, and it was amazing, you know, just to see that my parents loved them and they weren't theirs. And it's kind of like us in the Lord, right? We weren't His. We were rebellious. We were off doing our own thing. And we've come to Him, and He's accepted us into the fold. And at age 44, my mother conceived my sister, and she was born. And since she was so dirty rotten, they decided they could do better than that. No, I'm just teasing. Just in case you ever listen to this, right? There'd be a family feud. But, you know, she conceived me at 46. Back in 1965, that was some feat, you know. That was something that was very much prohibited by the medical community. They didn't want to. But could you imagine 90 years old having a child and conceiving a child back in the olden days, the old, olden days, where there is no doctors, you know. And I think we might have took the same route as Sarah did, and how she laughed about it, and when she heard that she would conceive. And sometimes we even do it today as we listen, as we hear the Lord, and we go, wait a minute, Lord, is that really something that you would have me to do? You know, is that really possible for me to do? How could I possibly do that? You know, but the Lord, you know, the Lord is so good to us, and He provides all the avenues in the past. So if you could turn to chapter 21, we'll start there, and we'll wander through Genesis here a little bit this morning. Verse 1 through 7 says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had spoken." Isn't the Lord always faithful? He always is faithful to do what He says. So often will I have people, especially when we're in Geneva doing the ministry there, we have people and we would be like, "Hey, you know, I'm with you, Fred. I'm going to be there Saturday night. We're going to evangelize with you." And Saturday after Saturday, I never saw the person. You know how unreliable we are sometimes. But we can count on God, because God, when He says something, He's gonna do it. It's like money in the bank, right? He spoke it to Sarah, and He did it. For Sarah conceived and bore. Did I say chapter 21? Because I hear some pages flipping, so I just wanted to make sure I said the right chapter. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at a set time of which God had spoken to him. See, so often do we want things that are very much today. We're today-oriented, right? That's why we have our smartphones, because we're not smart enough, so we want everything on this, right? So we think, hey, you know, we're going to have everything with us. So at a drop of a hat, we can find where to go. We can get the GPS going. You can buy an app for that. And, you know, you can do so many things, right, with them. But we want it today. We don't want to wait until we get home to look it up on our computers on the web. Or gee, worse yet, maybe go to a library and actually grab one of them things that they call a book and actually look something up in it. It's like, we always have to have it. So we're kind of like we're very much a now society. We want it today, and we want it now. But the Lord doesn't work that way necessarily. He gives us something now, and later He'll give us something years later. But we got to wait. We got to be patient. That's not one of my virtues. Not good at that. Not good at waiting and being patient and let the Lord do it. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Specifically naming out Isaac because we know what happened to Abraham, right? We know that he took things into his own hands, just like we do sometimes. And he had Ishmael. Then Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Circumcision was a sign of God's covenant with them, with the people of Israel. They wanted, you know, it was a way of identifying, right? It's a way of saying, hey, you know, God did promise us this, to remember that He did. And so God had commanded him to do that. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said, remember, he was 90 years old when God told him about this deal, you know, or 75 years old, I'm sorry, when he told him about the deal. So it was a waiting game for him, you know. So here he is, 100 years old. God finally delivers. He didn't finally deliver. He was going to deliver at 100 years old anyways. It's us that says, well, Lord, why'd you wait so long? He didn't wait so long. You're just impatient. I was just impatient, you know. So God delivers when He says He's going to deliver. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born, and Sarah said, God made me laugh, and all who bear here will laugh with me. So, you know, she did laugh in the lack of faith, right, back when she was told about it. It was a lack of faith, but I think it was different here. It said, God made me laugh this time. And sometimes God does that to us, doesn't He? Because when He performs, we're like at awe. We're like, wait a minute, how could this possibly be? And it's an awesome thing. We look at it and we go, wow. You know, we look at our son Isaiah. Isaiah's adopted, and he is our fourth child. So we decided that, you know, we got a call one day, and it was a dear friend asking us to take on Isaiah. Isaiah wasn't born yet, and we had prayed about it and felt like the Lord wanted us to do this, you know. And after we got him, it was kind of like an Isaac, you know. He makes us laugh. Does he make us laugh? Sometimes he makes us cry, too. Depending on the moment, right? But he certainly, the Lord made us, you know, it is an awesome thing. It's awesome. That's why she laughed here. It's like, can you laugh at this? Yeah, you can laugh at this. Why? Because God is awesome. It's like, it's so surprising to us. It's like, wow, how could He ever do this? Have you ever looked at God and said, I can't believe He did that? And you just laugh at what He did. It's like, it's not out of disrespect. It's about wow. It's about wow. He's an awesome God. And even here it says, all who hear will laugh with me. That's me and you. We can look at this and say, wow, this is awesome. You know, I think when I was birthed at, my mother had me at 46, right? Well, I'm 47 or 46 now, but she didn't have me just yesterday, but she had, you know what I mean? I kind of said it backwards, didn't I? But she had me at the age of 46, and, you know, I think that's a pretty cool miracle, and I'm kind of awed with that, because I tell the story to people a lot, because, believe it or not, I'm somewhat normal, kind of, you know. That's debatable, Don't ask my mother-in-law. But but it makes us laugh to look at God sometimes and say, Lord, certainly I didn't deserve it, but how awesome you are that you worked in that marvelous way. I think of my dad's salvation, you know, he was a ridiculer of us for years. We'd come home, and when I say years, I think I was saved 3 years, and I continue to witness to him, and we'd always sit at a table, and I'd be like, you know, I'm going to pop the guy because he got on my nerves so much, you know. There was always an answer, right? But when he got saved, it was sweet. It was real. It was awesome. I laughed at God. I said, God, how could you? How could you save him, you know? The guy that ridiculed me for all these years, and now I'm, how could that happen? But God is awesome. He's into this. He's into making us laugh, you know? And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would have nursed children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Absolutely nobody. It wouldn't even come to our mind, would it? Wouldn't even come to our mind if we sat in here while we were 100 years old and thought, maybe I'll have a child tomorrow. Right? It wouldn't even come to our mind. There's absolutely nobody that could think this up except the Lord. There's nobody, you know. He is the only one that could actually come up with a scheme and make it work. So sometimes we laugh at the things that the Lord does because he reminds us how perfect is that he is and how awesome that he is. And he knew, you know, when he told Sarah that he would have a son, he knew that time in which it was going to be. He knew that set time that it was going to be. He knew the right time. It wasn't too early or it wasn't too late. Mind you that Sarah and Abraham continued to get old. So the older they got, the more odds was against them. And the Lord knew those odds very well because he created them. And he was gonna pick the perfect time. And not only was it going to be the perfect time, but it was going to be just in time. You know, we talk a lot about this in industry. We want to get things in just in time so we don't have to necessarily pay for them economically, right? But God's just in time is, it was a perfect time because it was for the perfect purpose, right? If it was too early, it wouldn't have been for the same kind of purpose. We wouldn't have seen it the same way. If Sarah had Isaac at 30 years old, we wouldn't have saw it in the perfect light that it needed to be. He had to almost exaggerate it so that us fools could sit here today, look at the scripture and say, wow, that's how perfect he is, you know. I hope you didn't take offense by me calling you fools, but I group myself in that very, I'm the leader of fools, right? So praise the Lord that he has a perfect timing. So here's a miracle, Isaac. And we can look at it and say, you know, we can get really excited about a miracle, right? When somebody gets saved that is tough to get saved, like my father, we look at that and we go, wow, we kind of on cloud nine for a little while. You know, when somebody gets healed, and they're not supposed to get healed, we're kind of on cloud nine for a little while, you know. But I think the Lord challenges us even then, right? When he allows us to experience a miracle, he challenges us later in life of, are you in love with the miracle? Or are you in love with me? And so there's all this stuff going on that we can look at and we can get really, oh man, that was awesome. God performed that miracle. I met a guy that the kids, actually Isaiah's coach for soccer, the homeschool league that we're in. We went to Shepherd School together, and gee, I haven't seen a guy in so long. I honestly couldn't really recollect what he looked like. It's been about 10 years since we kind of broke bread in a sense together. When we left Shepherd School, we shared a lot of the same things in a sense. And He actually goes to Jeff Breed's church. He's the worship leader there. And so we got talking. And I was like, yeah, you know, he was saying, yeah, remember when we were down there, me and my wife had been trying for 9 years to get pregnant, and it just wasn't working, and we were discouraged, and we had some miscarriages, and he went through a lot of sorrow, you know, with it, as folks do. And he said, but you know what, I remember now that he told me about it, I actually had forgotten what had happened, but Pastor Bill said, hey, you know, why don't you come up, Chris, and we're gonna lay hands on you, we're gonna pray over you. And he said, to that day, a year from that date, my daughter was born. Miracle. It's a miracle that God cares that much, right? That he cares, that he gives us that. But don't fall in love with a miracle, because that's not who we should fall in love with. We should fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with him more and more. It's an awesome thing to recollect back, but sometimes then the Lord comes along, as he does in chapter 22 here, if you could turn there. And he challenges us and he says, how in love are you with a miracle that I've performed in your life? Are you willing? Are you willing to give back that miracle? Right, we sing that song, the Lord taketh and giveth away. You know, he giveth, and then we give it back to him. It's an exchange, right? Anything that you have, your clothes that you wear, it's an exchange that the Lord has blessed you with. It's a great exchange. It's the best in the world. That he's giving you all this so that, but it's not ours. We got to recognize that, and we got to lay it back at his feet and say, Lord, this isn't ours. We had to do that with our home. We love it there. There's no doubt. I like sitting out there. I'm a country boy at heart, and I like sitting out there and not hearing. I like hearing the birds, and I like, I don't like the carpenter bees that are on our house, but I like the birds. And I do sit out there, and it's nice, you know. A nice summer morning out on the side deck, cup of coffee, God's Word. I have a hard time thinking it gets any better than that, right? But we got to be willing to take those things and possessions that the Lord has given us and the Lord has blessed us with, be willing to give them back to him. Because he is worthy, right? He is worthy, as we sang this morning, of everything. Verse 2 of chapter 22 says, then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. So they journeyed out. You know, they journeyed out. They didn't really know where they were going here, did they? They knew they were going to Moriah, the land of Moriah, but didn't really know the specific mountain they were going to. But Abraham listened, and he took Isaac, his miracle, and he took him there because he knew the Lord had told him this. And he wanted to be obedient in the Lord because his love for God was tested here. Right? Was he in love with the miracle, or was he in love with the God that created the miracle? And so he tested Abraham, and so they journeyed out. In verse 7 it says, but Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for him the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. So, very conscious of what was going on here, Isaac would ask the question that most of us would ask. What's going on? You know, what's going on? I see this. I see what's happening, but I don't see the sacrifice. I don't see the offering. Right? And so very, very, very much aware of what's going on and wondering, something is different here. And what's different? Well, the sacrifice. There is no sacrifice. Where is the burnt sacrifice that we're going to offer up to the Lord? Then they came to the place in which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son. Boy, he started to understand a little bit more. His understanding was deepened, right, when he started to get bound and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. A burnt offering can only be a burnt offering if it's dead, right? And so Isaac knew that there was an offering that was being presented, but this offering was him. This offering was him. Reality was that Isaac was the offering, right? In that moment in time. And that it appeared that, boy, things are going to happen here, and I'm going to be the sacrifice. I'm going to be the burnt offering. My father is going to offer this up to the Lord, offer me up to the Lord. So it became very real to him. Especially became very real when he stretched out his hand and he grabbed a hold of the knife, and it was a knife that was going to be used to kill the sacrifice. But where was the sacrifice? Where was the offering? The only offering was his only son, right? It gives us a beautiful image, doesn't it? It gives us a beautiful image of what God did for us, that he gave his only begotten son for us, that God took him and put him on the cross. That's what the meaning here really is. It's to give us that view in the Old Testament of what God is going to do in the New, and how much he was going to love us so much that he was going to give up his only begotten son. And so, it's a hard path, right? We sometimes, people would say, well, that's blind obedience. Well, it's obedience to the Lord. And sometimes we don't always have to know all the answers. When he went to the mountain range, when he went to the land of Moriah, he didn't have all the answers. He had to listen to the Lord. He had to wait on the Lord and see what the Lord was going to do. But he didn't have all the answers. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life." Who will show me? The Lord's going to show me the path of life. "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So we know that when we're walking with the Lord, we have assurance of fullness of joy. And we have a pleasure that doesn't only last today, right? Do you think there was some sort of pleasure when Isaac was born to Abraham? Absolutely. You know? But it doesn't carry on. It doesn't fall off after that day. The pleasure still exists. And even to this point, right, he had pleasure in giving up his son even then to the Lord. It's an awesome thing that we have the privilege of giving things up to the Lord. I don't know. I have a hard time not giving. I have a harder time receiving. You know why? Because every time I give, something about it, it's really good. You know, it's really good, and the Lord is blessed by it. But something about it, it makes me feel good. Doesn't it make you feel good when you help somebody? You know, I have all I can do to resist hitchhikers. You don't see many on the roads anymore today, but I always have an urge when I go by, hey, I should pull over and help them. Sometimes the Lord says, hey, you better go back and help that person, and you never know. You know, and you get back there and, wow, sweet fellowship, right? Or you get back there and, man, you can share the gospel with them. Right? But wherever we are in the Lord, as long as he's at our right, we're at his right hand, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. there's pleasure forevermore. But being able to take our miracles that the Lord's given us and set them aside and offer them back up to the Lord, that's what we need to do. Isaac was obedient in this. His obedience proved to be a pleasure to the Lord. Because in verse 11 it says, "But the angel of the Lord called to him." Remember, he's stretched out, he's got the knife in his hands, he's about ready to sacrifice his only son. And it says, and the scripture says only son because it's the son that the Lord's given him. Right? It wasn't his only son, but it was the only son that the Lord had given him. You know? And so, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad and do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your miracle, your only son, from me." See, it's amazing, you know, because if Abraham perhaps had not acted in time, perhaps acted too fastly, quickly, he would have never experienced this from the Lord. He would have never experienced the angel of the Lord appearing to him and just providing him a way out and providing him with the sacrifice that he needed. So the Lord has a set time. He has a set time for everything. And that time, we honestly, most cases, we don't know until that time occurs, you know. I think about the coming of the Lord, right, when he comes back for his church. We don't know that time. Right? But he's coming back. But it's a set time. And in this case, he waited until the 11th hour, right? He waited, and he waited. You know what we do when the Lord waits? We go, "Come on, Lord, will you deliver? Will you make good on your promise? Will you, you know, can you hurry this up? I don't have all day. I've got an appointment. My smartphone says I have an appointment with so-and-so. I've got to get at it," right? And so we go off, and the Lord does something without us. Why? Because we're impatient, you know? You know, with us, we've got the Holy Spirit. And when the Lord speaks to us, he speaks to us through that Holy Spirit. And often we question it. We say, "Is that really of the Lord?" You know, and have you ever done that? You know, "Is that really of the Lord? I don't know," you know. And then you play out, "That's impossible. How could it be of the Lord? It's impossible. He doesn't do impossible things." Right? And so we rationalize, and all of a sudden we just worked ourselves right out of the miracle. We aren't listening to him. We're going off doing our own little thing. And the Lord is sadly disappointed, I think, because we weren't patient enough just to wait another minute, another hour, just so he could perform. You know, and sometimes the Lord puts us in situations, right? He puts us in situations that we don't necessarily like. The flesh doesn't like, right? You know, you're late for something, and you're like, "Oh, I hate to be late." You know, I don't. If I tell somebody that I'm going to show up at 10, when I show up at 5 after, then 5 minutes are the worst days, the worst minutes of my life. I'm driving there, I'm going, I'm late, and I know they're going to wait for me and stuff, but I just feel bad, you know. I feel late. But just if we could wait one more second, one more minute, the Lord could perform. And it says here that he did this because he feared the Lord. He respected the Lord. He respected the Lord's power. You know, we say, "Do we fear the Lord?" Well, do you? Because if we feared the Lord, we'd wait on him a little bit longer. Because that fear is really a respect for his power. Do we respect that he has the power to perform a miracle that we've asked him for? Sometimes it takes knocking on the door a little longer, you know. Sometimes it takes just allowing the Lord to hear your voice again and again and not giving up. God doesn't give up. He didn't give up on you. We shouldn't give up on Him. He is an awesome God. He wants to bless us, you know. Next week we were going to move on to Jacob. However, I've got so much on Isaac right here that I could spend another hour easily on it. It's funny how you prepare, right? And as you prepare, the Lord kind of melts you as you come up here, you know, and the Lord speaks. And, hey, you know, we'll do it next week, you know. But just to give you a heads up, chapter 24, we're going to talk about how Isaac met his bride and the circumstances behind it. It's an awesome picture. It's an awesome picture of the Lord in all this, right? The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. How it all works together. So we'll talk about that next week.